This is Sean Torres from Killsboro Brewing Company, and you're listening to Steal This Beer.
Steal This Beer, a candid weekly discussion about beer, over beer, by a couple of guys that think about beer way too much.
All right, hey y'all, it's 5 o'clock on Monday and we are stealing beer. I'm Augie Carton of Carton Brew.
Hello.
That's Justin.
What's
Hall's
up?
Not here because he's busy using Patreon dollars to buy another piece of property in the Garden State. Right? Now that you got the lake house, Hall needs a house too?
Yeah.
Is that what happened?
Yeah.
All right, so we're all caught up. Now everybody has a house except Justin, which is how the world should be.
I live in Brooklyn. It's way too expensive.
All right, so we have accomplices today. We have Lauren and Joe Grimm, who've been on the show before. Back at, I think you guys were in our first, would I be lying if I said first 20?
They were number 19.
Nice.
Nailed it. I was going to go 25. I thought I could tighten that. Anyway,
it says right there, Augie, episode 19.
Stop pretending I can read. Anyway, but so that was back in 2015, and it is now 2018, let's say autumn, because these are going to be come out around Thanksgiving.
Yeah, right? Around Thanksgiving.
But anyway, so it's right now it's the last couple days of October. You guys have had a big fucking 3 years.
Oh, yeah.
So you and I have seen each other a bunch, and we've got to talk about all this shit, but the thieves don't know everything that's happened. You guys bought a system that never showed up and had to live through that and adapt to that and still get the brewery open. And now this summer, the brewery / restaurant opened, right?
Yep. Yeah.
Okay. But I guess the first question, because this actually came up, one of your beers showed up on the show. We loved it. So
oh, nice.
Kudos. Somebody brought one of your beers on the show. And we were talking about it. Do you still do any contract? Are you now entirely in your house? Are you splitting some of the old beers at the old spots and doing new beers, new spots?
We're entirely in-house now. We do have still, because we started a barrel aging program at one of the breweries, our partner breweries. Okay. So we still have a bunch of sour beer there.
Okay, cool. Well, that's good because I love your sours. I don't want them to change.
Oh, I mean, we now have over 100 oak barrels in our new space, also with sour beer. So we're in a transition moment, but basically everything's in-house.
How's the switch been? Like, I know for the whole time you were contracting, you guys were headed this way and wanted to get here, and now you're there. But you, to my knowledge, and it's not like we had any intimate late night talks about what it is to brew away, but I don't ever remember having a beer from you guys that wasn't what I thought you wanted to make, right? You didn't have the contract issues I see a lot of other people having, at least when I was in a restaurant drinking your beers. You know what I mean? So you guys were getting out of systems what you wanted out of systems. Was there... How fun was the adaption to now it's your system? It's probably smaller than some of those systems you were brewing on, right? Was there a, why the fuck would this one do what I'd been doing for 5 years? Or did it come together?
It's actually the same exact size as what we've been mostly brewing on.
So how big is the system?
It's a 30-barrel brew house.
Jesus, good for you. That's nice. That's big.
We sort of sized it so that we could manage it with a tight staff. So there's not that many fermenters compared to how many
but is there room if you wanted to grow? Could you know what I mean? How many more can you plug in?
We built out the space with the idea that we could increase capacity by more fermenters. Right now we have six. We have 460 barrel and 290 barrel fermenters.
And how much crazy ass juicy IPA are you making? How many crazy ass barrel aged stouts are you making? How many awesome little sour beers you're making? And I don't want it to sound like which ones I'm hoping are bigger. I'm not trying to give that away, but what do you think you're doing, Joe? Where are you at on that? What's the mix?
I think we're doing half hops. We're doing a lot of pale ales though, so we're doing pale ales, double IPAs, and triple IPAs mostly.
We did just start making some pilsners, so
yeah. Woo-hoo. And then the other half is like everything else. Yeah. Although a lot of it is at this point us just doing turns of wild beer and then putting it in wood.
And just,
so that,
yeah,
you know,
building
that,
the library,
that's going to take time
before
and that stuff
no
is really
barrel aged stouts. At least our comfort level isn't there with that because we have like 150 oak
wild
barrels
things
of wild.
But you guys, what was God? I don't think I've had your. You do make a barrel aged stout that I like 5 years ago, right? Like that is a thing, the Grim Barrel Aged Stout, right? What was the name of it?
It does exist.
But what's its called? Its name? It's
a
very serious double.
Barrel Aged Double Negative.
Double negative. Like, but I had a Barrel Aged Double Negative at some event at
the Tiger,
and I remembered liking it a lot. So that,
it was good.
Is it gonna come back? Are we breaking news here? You guys like, fuck
really
it.
Nice.
I do sours and hops.
We did a really nice beer called Sumi Ink also, which is like a little bit bigger and sweeter and had a little bit of vanilla.
Right on.
I had that beer. It was great.
I mean, at some point we'll do another one. We'll see.
You just can't do everything at once.
But you know what it is.
I do.
We had a running joke with Yepa where he was like, I'm not doing any barrel-aged sours in my space. And we were like, we're doing all barrel-aged sours in our space. And we're like, why don't we make
a little Brooklyn co-op.
Yeah.
Maybe we'll do it across Bushwick.
Would you trust Yepa not to just thieve out of your barrel? Be like, damn, that one's really good. This more Jesus needs a little body. I'm going to...
Even more Jesus.
Extra mas Jesus. That's fucking fun. That's cool. All right, so thieves that listen at home know that my Lauren, not your Lauren, you Lauren, my Lauren prefers sour beers and not like more in the clean kind of lactic sour, not the crazy funky sour, although she likes those. I had her at Blue Hill one night, and you had a Pine Tip sour bottle on their menu that was probably her favorite brewer that year. How was doing that in a contract world for fun versus now that you're in your own house, you'd be like, I'm going to fucking make a Pine Tip thing. Is there a different feeling for you guys when you do those? Because, you know what I mean? There had to be a big deal to be like, all right, this time we're going to make a Pine Tip sour versus, well, we could definitely sell a lot more of the, you know, the hoppy.
In terms of like
decision making
going
away?
To like
it? No. There's enough people that'll like that beer no matter what if you make it right. But I mean, in decision making for more creative beers, like I imagine now that it's your house, you can think of something and jog shit around and be like, all right, we're doing it and we're doing it Tuesday because I'm excited about it versus, okay, you know what I mean? Versus having to be on somebody else's schedule.
Well, when we were doing contract brewing, you know, if we ever had a question about how something would turn out, we'd always make a pilot batch.
Right.
So the
no, but I mean more like the creativity and inspiration for that beer versus getting it into a tank versus having to figure it out on a schedule. What's the difference in that approach? Like if I want to put one of my Two Roads beers in, I'm thinking Six Roads ahead. If I decide I want to make a beer carton, we're brewing
you're
it
like,
tomorrow.
Yeah.
You know, I'm like, guys, just push everything back. And
we're putting out so many new beers like, all the time right now, and it's, you know, it's basically it's like, oh wait, we don't have that hop that we were supposed to have, so I guess this is a different beer. Let's make it totally different. And then I think that's
who
totally...
does the Excel spreadsheet in the team. Who forgot the hop? Who's that rest? That's you, Joe.
It's probably
right?
Me. Right now, I'm doing our ordering, so it's all. So I also get the back end of like what the problems are about it, which is, oh no, now we have to have new labels.
It's the real estate magnate, John Hall.
Hey, John.
So the Patreon.
Hi, sorry, I'm
the
late,
Patreons
guys. I was buying
bought
a
you a house.
Yeah,
that's awfully
it's,
good.
It's really cool. When I needed a place to park the plane.
Once I would like a Pilsner, just once. How do you fucking get houses and first class tickets? And anyway, welcome. You
hey,
know
sorry,
the
I'm late, guys.
Thanks for joining us. We're in the middle of the realities of being in your own house. We've caught Laura out on not having a hop on hand, and that's where we are when you walk in.
Gotcha.
Well,
I'm all caught up.
It good. Just means that you've got to make new labels, new beer name, new everything, and then you're like, this is going to be done in 3 weeks. Let's get all
this
together.
The New York SLA slowed down their sort of turnaround for these labels,
for
so that's really the thing that bites us in the butt. It's like we'll make things sometimes, and then we just don't have.
Now, last time when you guys were on, we talked about the division of labor being kind of brew and art as part of the way things split, right? You were the artist behind the label work, and you know what I mean? Like, in the family, that's the way things go. Is that more, like, as these things come up in your... Like, I imagine some of this has to be a catharsis, too, where you're like, all right, we can brew whatever we want. I've wanted to make these 10, so these are coming up, and we still got to make these 10, so now we have 20 beers in the next whatever. Is that... Are you still doing the label art for that? Is that still working? Is that part of what's being delegated as you get more? You know what I mean? How's that working?
Basically, we're rapidly trying to like get to move our jobs off to other people. Yeah.
Well, these guys, you missed before we went on the air. There was a quick exchange. It was kind of funny. She's like, "Yeah, we're learning to delegate." And I was like, "For some of us, that's a business model."
Right.
So I, you know, yeah,
that's all you do.
I only delegate.
Yeah. Like, I know. I know delegate. About that.
And then refers to himself as the talent. So it's yeah.
Actually, so when we were walking here, Joe was like, "Avi's really good at delegating."
He just coming from his day job. Carton isn't even his day job.
Like, that's his side job.
He's really advanced at this.
And it's not even like a job, right? I mean, you have to show up for it to be a job, right? This is more, yeah.
Here I am.
Yeah.
Here I am. I've only missed one day of the show. How many of you missed?
It was 2 weeks. It was two glorious weeks. Two glorious weeks.
But I'm old. Keep in mind, I'm much older than most guys that are starting a brewery, right? I started my brewery when I was 41, so I'd learned a lot of things in film production and, you know, other jobs where I got delegated to and had to delegate a lot. And, it's art, right? And I think you guys are, that's no secret. I think you guys are very artistic in your approach, but I do art by committee. I don't do it. I'm not a single vision kind of, I will kill myself till I get it right guy. I'm like, here's what I'd like to do. How can you help me do it?
And
that's just my approach.
Lauren's always really, humble about it. But from the beginning, she was sort of a sort of art director. And then she was also recruiting our friend Greta for a lot of the labels. So Greta was doing maybe half of them. At this point, Greta's doing like 75% and Lauren's doing another quarter.
Nice.
Do you save the fun stuff for yourself?
That's what I was going to ask. That's a good question. Are you like, you know what? I've got this one's me, guys.
No, it's more like
when she did the Suicide Door label, she was like, "Well, I did the Lambo label, and it has to look in the same style as that
obviously.
One." You know?
Yeah.
And
are we going to let you answer? Like this is the question for you.
Like, I have to do another label.
So you got to do a series of good pimp cars so that she's always involved.
I'm definitely making some pimp cars right now.
All right, so let's talk about the Black Glass. John's here.
Yeah.
All right, so what brings us together on Steal This Beer is a candid discussion of beer and what it is.
Yeah.
Not what we wished it was or how hard it was to get or what we could sell it for. The Grimms brought it. The Augie and the John are drinking it blind out of opaque glasses. It's fun, right? I wanted to go Flanders Red, but it feels like somehow it's a soury, stoutish thing, right?
So that's really the interesting thing. Like, my mind was immediately gone to, like, the Duchess or something along those. But then when you taste it...
There's, like, a chocolate milk thing that... Yeah. Like, it smells rich, feels rich when you first get it. The acidity is really lovely.
Yeah.
And then all of a sudden, there's this body to it that's, like, soft. And so I once did a sour milk stout.
Uh-huh.
Because I thought it was funny to do sour milk and, you know, whatever, let's see how it goes. But it was really fun for that reason. And I feel like this is in that kind of genre where somebody threw lactose in to smooth out a sourness. The problem is it's got all that Flanders red fruit, right? That kind of whiny, whiny fruit. But it's fun. It's thick. It's got a lot of body for what doesn't feel like a very high ABV beer.
But it disappears almost so quickly, and there's a little bit of a lingering, like, waxy bitterness on the end of it.
That's probably a little tiny bit of, but I wouldn't let it distract you.
Maybe the acidity helps to cut through the thickness.
Mm-hmm. But it also accentuates it, right? So when you're done, there's that little tiny bit of fat in the middle of your tongue that could be a couple things that come along with a wild pitch.
It gets the salivary glands going for sure.
But you know what I mean? But then it sticks around, I think, because everything around it is so cleaned by the acidity that you're like, hey, why is that there?
Yeah.
But it doesn't bother me. But yeah, it's definitely, it's oily.
Reminds me of one of my favorite beers, which is Leafman's Hudenbond.
Mm. Yeah.
It's like a amped up, fancy version.
I get it.
Yeah. If I didn't have other travel plans this week, I was supposed to be in Belgium. And this was making me think of, like, just sitting in a cafe. You know, in like one of like the obscure towns somewhere. I know.
Why can't I be you? Fuck me.
I'm going to Des Moines instead. So
so now we know what first place and second place awards were.
Yeah.
Who came in first? Who's on the Belgian trip?
Oh, that's other folks. But this just makes me think of sitting at a cafe in a town somewhere and just.
But it wants food, and I can't figure the food. I feel like it wants like biscotti cookies or something. I feel like it wants something, little pop to it, a little herbalness to it, but like a hard crunch and not, you know what I mean? Like, the only other way to go would be blue cheese, and I think it's trite to pick cheese. So I'm trying to avoid that.
Justin's left the room, so you can't even point to him.
Fucking Justin.
Oh, he's back there. He's on the couches.
He's
just hanging out.
Dude, he lives the VIP room culture. He knows how to lay down on that couch.
He's really like reclining right now.
Just because none of us know how to live
the
VIP room.
The last time we did shows
room.
In this room, we set up and we were sitting on the couches and doing the show, and it's as awkward to picture in your mind as it was for us to actually sit there and do it.
This is much better. Oh, hey,
Cass.
All right, so that's my sentence. I'm doing it. I don't know.
Yeah, this is me sitting in a cafe and enjoying it. Hopefully it's something local if it's Belgian, but you know.
But I would love it with like some anise cookies, pine nut cookies, stuff like that. I think that's fine.
I like that.
As you would.
That's fine. You want to tell us what it is? Can you read that?
The unveiling.
You're jumping. Joe, do you want to tell them what this is?
Oh my God, would you produce?
Is this something that they brought by the brewery and we're like, oh, this is like, this beer is insane that we're never going to drink this on our own. So
this would be a
now
lot.
Now that we have a brewery,
that you would
it's
enjoy
nice, right? It's
the
nice.
Way that they describe it, which is
super complicated. Essentially,
it's double everything.
Everything double.
There's a DD
double aged, double barreled.
Wait, double aged. Go fuck yourself.
Double aged, double.
Fuck yourself.
We knew you would
double
love that.
Double blended.
Who is this?
It's obviously
wild beer
double
company.
Aged, double blended, double aged. And double something.
Where's
there
the
was
wild
double
beer
three
company
things.
From?
I don't remember where that
is.
Is
the Wild Beer Company funny enough that that's a joke? Or do they think they're Marvel or something?
They are super sweet people. They
Joe, you know, if you made a double-aged beer, I'd be on the phone to you in 3 fucking seconds.
I know, people.
They are really excited about this beer, so I don't think it's a joke.
Where are they from?
But Joe, you're one of the better sour makers I know in our region. A sour beer is done when a sour beer is done, right? You blend it to be what you want it to be.
But they made this in a crazy way. So they,
there is a whole big label copy that Justin has to read.
No, there's a lot of info. I was hoping Joe could
distill it. It took me like 2 minutes to read it. But
Joe's about to distill it. I feel like that's the better way to go.
I think that's the better way to go for
me and the thieves at home.
Where are they from? Where is this brewery from?
It's from the UK. Do you know where exactly? I don't know.
Because that's not necessarily clear on their label.
I think that they're like maybe in London or right outside of London.
Okay.
Well, so everything in England is
if I understand
right
the label
is
double.
I believe this is just a catch-all.
If you believe them, I'm right outside of London, 3.5 hours by train.
Somerset.
Obviously.
There's a Somerset John just bought a house in. Anyway.
Also not there, no.
I'll figure out where you are soon.
Apparently they make like
really
a, some sort of a vatted English beer. And then
so
this
like
is
a stock ale, right?
Yeah,
like if this was
ale.
Built on a stock
so
ale, that would make
out
sense.
It's a stock ale, and then
they're blending in a little bit
they're
of
aging that
of a barley
go
wine,
to sour,
right?
And then they're taking that blend from barrels, aging that in a red wine fooder, and then
there's
they're taking
that, wine
and
that,
then
that
it back
and they're putting it in some like bourbon barrels whiskey, after that or something. It's just like
well, and then they have the Maker's Mark wax on here as well. This
and it is
red
pretty
casket.
Precise Maker's Mark.
Yeah,
wax.
This is almost copyright infringement on Maker's Mark.
Yeah,
trademark.
On the drips.
Yeah.
Except for it's not a whiskey, so they probably get away with it.
That's right, but whiskey barrel.
So it's got a bunch of layers.
I still think double aged is some bullshit copy, because let's face it. That was 7 ways to age, and still we have no time for the first aging.
Triple aged.
Yeah, but they are calling it a sour red, so.
Yeah.
I think it's basically a red, like a Belgian red, then blended with a bit of like a barley wine at the finish.
Well, Joe, as a guy who has emotional attachment to fun things like stale hops and properly sour beers and fun proper fuckery like we like to talk about when we're drinking, do you think we suffer because old ale became not understood, like a properly old slightly sour beer, like this was probably built on like a stock ale. Mm-hmm. Like the fact that nobody knows what that is and you can't call it that and identify it to people, is that something you wish you guys were making that Like I there's stock ales I want to make, but I'm going to call them sour barley wines, because if you call them a stock ale, people be like, I don't know what that is, and I don't get why this barley wine is sour.
Even if you call it a barley wine, everyone's going to run.
Well, that makes me crazy, but at least they know what I mean, right? If I say this is a sour barley wine, they're going to understand that it's a stock ale without knowing what a stock ale is. You know what I mean?
I think it's just about how much of it you make, right? Like, we all know that if we make a certain amount of IPA, that's fine. And if we make too much, like, I'm drinking this on the side. I'm drinking this delicious Iyengar.
Yeah, and it is
so
lovely, right?
Fucking good. And I would like to make a Heffa, but I know we can't sell that. We can't sell a full batch of Heffa.
Is that true?
Really? No,
but now let's talk about that. That's a fun fuck you to the beer culture, because the guys that seem to be living well from the 98 generation are the guys that really built themselves on a decently phenolic wheat beer, right? So Goose Island, with that Goose Island book you made me read, I didn't realize, but their biggest seller was a wheat beer for a long time.
Mm-hmm.
What's his name up north? Allagash.
Yeah, you know Boulevard with wheat.
So
yeah, which is like the number one beer in the Midwest.
That, is it, that kind of set themselves 15 years before Carton and Grimm come along? Like, you know what I mean? Like, because
I mean, I think
they
first
sort of own that space.
But the customers who identify with your generation of brewers, right? And maybe, you know, that don't necessarily that think of Allagash as the old guys. Are they going to have a tough time? Is that what you're saying? Like that you guys would have a tough time selling it because of your customer base?
I have to say, I mean, I slightly disagree with Joe. I think it would be fine. I mean, there's like a new trend in the Pilsners, so I kind of think that a Hefeweizen would be fine.
You just have to
you
make
think it's
going to
come back around?
It's been, it's been a conversation we've been having. Like, I mean, how would we do it if we made a...
I'm
like
totally ready to make a Hefeweizen.
That'd be awesome.
Hefeweizen.
Yeah.
In Sierra Nevada in Mills River, their new place, the number two selling beer behind Pale is their Kellerweiss. Is their interpretation of a Hefeweizen.
That's cool.
And it's
Kellerweiss.
Yeah. It's a wonderful, wonderful beer, but it's the number two seller in Mills River behind Pale, and not by all that much. Like, so there's still a market for it, and that's the older generation as well, but I still think that...
So let's go back into the new
restaurant.
I think
there's also something about price point. Is, you know, there's like, you know, the customer wants to spend a certain amount on... Yeah, that kind of a beer, right?
And if you've just built a new brewery in Brooklyn and had a new brew house dangled in front of you and snatched right back, it's,
and you're paying Brooklyn prices for your
real
estate.
You gotta buy them Nelsons.
I mean, frankly, when we made our first pills like last month and putting that out, I was like, man, we could have made two double IPAs in the amount of time.
Yeah, and we still have it. We still have plenty of it. It's fucking delicious. Yeah.
But the double IPA that we released like 5 days ago is gone.
Well, but that'll get better as you get deeper threading tendrils through your own neighborhood, right? So I didn't make mine, like I didn't start making our Hells till...
Hey, happy birthday, Alice, by the way.
Do you see that sparkler cake? Sparkler cake. So I didn't really start making mine until we'd been open 6 or 7 years, and I had the locals that had committed to boat and had all the fun, but, you know, those guys that are still like, but come on, can't you just fucking make me a beer? And I was like, of course I can, and I want to, but I have to know I can move 30 barrels of it every 30 days, because that's the only way I do it. And by 5 years, we had enough people walking into the tasting room in the local bars that I could commit to that, and they would commit to it.
Yeah.
And, you know... Whoop.
So right now, you're prepared to say that you guys are going to make a Hefeweizen
before 2018 is over. You know what I'm saying, because that's not shit.
Probably not in the next like.
Sorry,
I
wasn't paying attention. I just assumed that's what you guys were talking about.
Well, also,
but that's
one
not
of the things
line
we
culture
need to
is what
do
I'm
is
saying.
Is
you guys
need to get a 30-barrel fermenter, right?
That's obvious. I wanted to mention that. You said 60s and 90s.
We might have a 30-barrel fermenter by the end of 2018.
Okay. Yeah, that's the plan.
You heard it here first.
We'll use it for blending barrel-aged beer for a while, and then... Eventually, we'll make a Heffa.
I know.
Why did somebody put Jerusalem artichoke in my fucking...
look at you with your fancy...
Did you get it?
Fancy produce.
It's there.
It's fall.
There's this a lot of...
But did you get that? Like, this is a dressed up, sweet...
I'm getting a lot of,
winter
like,
warmer, stouty thing, and for some reason, there's a fucking Jerusalem
leaves.
Artichoke in the middle of it.
There's a...
There's a lot of dead vegetation
in
here.
No, it's
neat. There's a lot of, lot of soy... beer too, by the way, hit the table, and this is what we're talking about. But
should I make the speech again?
No, we've already done it.
Okay, I just
want to
make
you only
sure.
have to do
I
it once.
I want you to be happy. You were late. I don't want you to feel you missed anything.
I appreciate it very much. It's, I was busy getting keys.
Thank you, Patreon.
This is
Patreon changed everything, right? When did that thing happen?
Oh yeah, no,
there wasn't any Patreon last time we were here.
Yeah, no, everybody's invited to the housewarming since you all bought the house. Yeah.
At some point, we needed some money to do some things, and it's been going great.
Right.
But I've really been paying attention to John's lifestyle since, and apparently
he's well dressed today.
John,
yeah. I don't remember
John
him looking so good.
Much better than any newsman I've ever known.
All right, stop. Like the SEC could be listening. This is really fun. There's this chalkiness, like this like white chalkboard kind of dryness that comes
through.
You mean
white chalk on a
green
chalkboard?
Chalk on a, yeah.
Like astringency?
Yeah, like not even astringency. It's more of like a dryness and a little bit of like a like mid-palate kind of, you're looking for something to cleanse, and then at the very end that soy hits really hard and it's...
Are you not getting the thing I'm calling the...
Artichoke.
Jerusalem artichoke?
Well, okay, sunflower roots.
Uh-huh.
What do you want me to do? I'm trying to use words you know.
Yeah. Because we're all familiar with sunflower roots.
Sunflower roots are just some artichokes. That's what they are. It's the root of a sunflower.
Really? Yeah. No way. Yeah. I had no idea.
Yeah, that's all it is. It's the underground part of sunflowers.
That's amazing.
I thought we were actually looking for an artichoke taste.
In Jerusalem. Yeah.
No, what are they called? Sunchokes. You know the thing I'm talking about. The little,
oh,
you shave them on salads, you over roast them with olive oil.
There's basically a whole room of people like just kind of looking roots at you like, yeah.
Do you motherfuckers not know what a sunchoke is?
I do know what a sunchoke is.
Yeah.
But I didn't know that it was called a Jerusalem artichoke.
Jerusalem artichoke is what it's called.
Interesting.
Look, Justin's like, that is right.
He's
everybody
Googling
with
it.
A fixie,
he's raising his
everybody
hand
with a fixie knows what a Jerusalem artichoke is.
I don't think we have those in the
Like a root. This is definitely root vegetable, dead leaves.
But sweeter one, right? Not like not.
But
like
you're right about dead leaves. Like late November after a couple of rainstorms.
Yeah.
Yeah, that one pile in the
We're
side of the yard.
We're getting in the Halloween
it's like
vibe
starting
here.
To like,
yeah.
Like,
yeah. Ooh, you know what it might be? You know what it might be? It just might be a whole fistful of candy corn melted in the middle of a sunchoke.
There's a brewery that in Wisconsin that did that liquefied candy corn and used that as their...
It's actually not a... That tasting note is not wrong. That sort of weird, like, melted wax candy thing is in there.
Mm-hmm. Thank you. No, but you know, here's the thing. Does nobody know that candy corn just tastes like vanilla? Like, I'm always shocked when people don't know
that they hate it.
Oh, yeah. It tastes like candy corn. Candy corns are vanilla-flavored wax candy. That's all it fucking is. Like, everyone's like, oh, it tastes like candy corn. No, it's fucking vanilla. It's the same flavor as bourbon. Like, I don't understand why people don't understand that they love vanilla. Like, oh, we use candy corns.
But maybe it's a specific vanilla. I mean, like...
No, because you know how to brew. Everything you're going to do except the candy corn is going to be metabolized, and you're going to be left with the vanilla. You could have literally put a bottle of extract in and made a candy corn stout.
Yeah, but extract's really expensive, and candy corns are
extract
like 99
is what goes
cents
into candy
for
corns.
10 pounds.
Just makes me nervous. It's like circus peanuts taste like banana. Candy corn tastes like vanilla. They're not fancy, unique flavors. They're textures with common flavors.
Honestly,
does anyone
know
think
how
that
to
candy corn is fancy?
Put candy corn in a beer. I wouldn't know
no,
what to
just
do.
No, people keep talking about it. This season especially, like, oh, I don't like the way candy corn tastes. Yes, you fucking do. Yes, you
I
fucking do.
I love candy corn.
Because it tastes like vanilla.
Is this what you guys give out at your house?
But it's also about the texture.
Is this what you give out at your house and you give every
you
kid who
trick
comes
or treater
up?
Shows up at my house?
No.
My house is the scariest house on the block.
I'm going to represent for the candy corn is gross side of this. I mean, it just tastes like nothing.
Stay tuned, ladies and gentlemen, as Augie now tells you for 25 minutes why you're wrong.
No, it's vanilla. It's vanilla, and it's a texture.
You're right.
Thing.
It's barely anything. Right. It's like it's a waxy
it's
texture
flavor
in your
baby
mouth.
Food.
With
it's not
a
about
slight,
the shape.
Like
it's
just
yeah,
a slight.
And biting
like
the white part off.
It's
and biting the
like
white part
yeah.
off.
Yeah.
And biting the white part off.
We're going to agree, though, that this beer probably has a bunch of age on it, right?
And candy corns.
Yeah, and candy corns.
We can agree on that.
Yeah.
Yeah, no, well,
this is like Halloween 1976 when this was brewed.
But this is absolutely sturdy enough for however long it is.
Yeah.
And I want it to be fucking long. Like, I want this to be a dozen years or longer. If it isn't,
we need to go talk to a brewer.
If it isn't, like, I want this to be a dozen years or more well stored.
Yeah.
If it isn't, I think the bottle, it's oxidized. You know what I mean? Like, if this happened over that amount of time, this is great maturation. Mm-hmm. If this happened inside of 4 years, everybody should drink every bottle they have because it's not going to get better from here.
Where are you
but
drinking
if this is slow maturation? Oh, this is exactly like you're talking about. So you're talking about the autumn leaves and that mm-hmm. kind of thing. This is the end of the night, swap out a brandy or a port, let the beer play that role, triple bock kind of thing, where it's just, you know, we've all been drinking whatever, and fire's lit, it's autumn, and we want to sip on something and slow down a bit. This is right where I want that to be. I would drink this slowly out of a tulip, you know, 4 ounces out of a tulip. If a 750 got around twice to four of us, this would be a good, good fireside beer.
See, because of seasonal creep, I would want this in early August to make me realize that autumn is coming. Nobody? All right, fine.
You're the guy who's got the jacket on.
Just so you know, seasonal creep, November. You just seasonally creeped the wrong way. That reference from 3 years ago. But
what do we got?
Looks like Justin's ready.
Oh, and I'm bummed wait, that it's a 12. Wait. I'm really bummed it's a 12. Like, I wanted
like
it to
a
be
12 ounce bottle
so we could go back in.
Oh, so, I was like, this so is a not a 12. This is an 8.
No, yeah. No,
so this is a decade old J.W. Lee's Harvest Ale Vintage Limited.
Now, did you guys buy this then and take care of it? Because it was well stored.
We did not. This was
we
given to
it
us.
Maybe 2 years ago.
No, we didn't. Somebody gave it to us at our grand opening.
Oh, really?
Oh.
So wait. It can't be 2 years ago. You guys opened this summer.
Wait, what?
Didn't we buy this at, what's the place in Delaware? Maryland?
Like State Line Liquor?
I think we got this at State Line.
I like that you guys rehearsed almost as much as we did.
Yeah, I feel like this is very comfortable for all four of us.
Yeah.
Justin, you totally
this is our
fucked
wheelhouse.
The show up.
Yeah, this is
I
would have
tried to keep this on the tracks.
I
that's
remember
not how
buying
the show
this
wants to go.
At State Line Liquors like 3 years ago.
I remember somebody giving this to me.
If somebody did give
but
us
no,
this, thank
reconcile,
you.
Reconcile, though,
you know
an
part?
Opening 2 years
part?
Ago
you
when
know
you
know
guys
the best
have
part,
a...
Family Grimm? There's another one somewhere in your house. So if you really liked
that's
it,
true.
If you really liked it...
This means we're not out of them.
When you find the other one, make it the one-year anniversary gift and said, in fact, that that one was an opening gift.
I can say one thing. Our refrigerator in our apartment has no food in it. It is just filled
that sounds
with beer.
Right.
Yep.
But now you got to walk in, right? You got the artichoke thing. I hope you guys
if you put it in the walk-in, anybody will take it.
Once you explained what a Jerusalem artichoke was, I'm totally with you.
So for the first, I think, year and a half, 2 years of Carton, people... made sure I knew when beer showed up, and then that stopped.
You mean like the people who actually work day in and day out at the brewery?
At the brewery.
Yeah.
So
not the people who are dropping it off.
That's already ended for us. It just goes in and
you need that cage.
First enjoys it.
You need that cage. That this is Joe. This is Joe and Lauren's cage. We need the combination to get the beer.
I kind of want
to
share with
them to drink it. Frankly, I feel like it's a learning experience. Like Joe and I spent years educating our palates with beer, and I want everyone who works with us to have that same experience.
I'm not going to disagree with you. And since 98% of what shows up for Augie is beer that has 3 days of life in it, and I want it drunk quickly, I'm with you. Even some of our best friends.
But with the JWP.
Even some of our friends. But when shit like this walks in, I see
you
it empty.
You have like the
Kelly. Or somebody texts me, what'd you think of that 08 JW Lee's? I'm like, come again?
You motherfuckers.
And then I ask, like, it was great. We made sangria out of it. You motherfuckers.
Yeah, but the Instagram picture got like 40 likes, so it's worth it.
All right,
but
so
have you guys ever had like a fresh JW Lee's?
Harvest? No.
I feel like I've had a pattern of drinking like really, really old bottles of this.
Yeah,
Harvest
I did
Ale.
Once.
What's it like when it's really, really new?
It's got like a fresh barley wine thing to it, like a very young, not oxidized at all, but exactly what you would think of as a traditional. Like English barley wine that you would just get like right off the right off the tanks. Like it has that
Does
sort
it
of
have like a lot of Fuggles kind of thing. Is it like hoppy?
I'm trying to think now. I had it in Michigan 3-4 years ago at a Hopcat that just randomly had a keg of it on draft, and it was
a
that
keg
year's.
Of this.
Yeah.
Oh shit! You'd have to bring bail money.
Yeah. No. It was the end of the night. We were actually out with Jeremy Danner from Boulevard, who had one of these and then fell asleep at the table. Which I have pictures of somewhere, which is fun.
I wish I fell asleep when I drank beers like this. That is not
what No, you go the opposite way where it's like, when Augie wakes up, it's five states later. And
whoops. Yeah. All right, so the thing I want to get to, because it's interesting to me. So, if I could, I would make food, and I would make food to go with my beers, and New Jersey won't let me do that.
We've already covered this in an episode.
Oh, yeah. You guys finally have cooking going on. How are you handling that? How are you finding it? Like, what's that like? Like, from premier contract brewery to small brewery with food in Brooklyn is about as opposite ends of a spectrum as you can do. So how's it going? Is it fun? How's the cooking going? Are you subcontracting? How's
it's
it going?
Great. Well, I mean, Joe and I were like, we know about brewing. We've thought about beer for a decade or more. We have never owned a restaurant, so that's probably like a little bit beyond us at this moment.
Right on.
You know, like maybe once we are open for many years.
But aren't you serving food?
Cool. Yeah, so we have food.
Okay.
Basically, we had the forethought to bring on a restaurant that we love, Samisa.
Okay.
It's local. They're basically a few blocks away from our brewery. And we were in
there. So they do all the mise there and come in and get shit
and
ready for
people? Yeah, right, we have no kitchen on premise. They're bringing their food over and then they're, you know, organizing it, preparing it.
But as time goes on, are you guys finding a voice in the team for, I've got these kind of beers coming up, people seem to be liking these kind of foods with it? Like, you know what I mean? How is that gelling?
We've been open for, you know, 3.5 months. I know. So we haven't.
I know, and I still haven't been there, embarrassingly. But I'm coming.
But what'll happen is he'll find J.W. Lee's on tap somewhere, and then it was never in the plan, and then all of a sudden it'll be 11:30 at night.
Your text will be going and saying, why the fuck is Augie texting us?
Yeah. Well, I'm outside.
I had a good idea.
Yeah.
Anyway, but
let's make a beer.
So
the food is great. They are doing a great job. We like working with them.
And you're kind of just letting them do their thing.
And, I mean, we have conversations.
Yeah.
And they've been using a bunch of our beer ingredients in their food, like our spent grain.
That's fun.
Some of our beer they've made into vinegars to pickle vegetables. And they're doing cool stuff.
Right on.
Yeah. I mean, it's sort of it's good because it's got nice vegetables in it. We realized we were going to be eating there all the time. We wanted to have a place that we could eat a lot.
That's smart.
So we're, you know, they have like an amazing like shawarma wrap. They do like awesome spicy like pickled cauliflower.
Are you feeling your brewing instinct pushed any by that cuisine being in your life as constant as it is? Are you going like, I don't know why I'm on my seventh. Well, the Hefeweizen, right? That would this beer would really go well with shawarma, right? So maybe that's why you're dying to put it on. Maybe that's what's going on.
I don't know. My life right now, I feel like I'm living in the Matrix. I am Keanu Reeves in a Matrix. And
of all the people in
like
the Matrix to pick to be, you picked him? I start with Trinity and go way far away from there. I would never want to be Keanu. I'd like
I'm
to be the
girl
guy
in
who had
red
the
dress, a really good looking one.
Right? You know, or the twins in Two? Come on. Or anybody in any of the rubber costumes in the end of the second one in that highway chase. Come on. Keanu, yours. Anyway.
It's
all right, cool.
A good segue there.
That's right. All right, so wait, back to it. Now we got to do the part where we remember that this ideally should help you guys market. Where is it? When's it open? Where should they go to come drink your beers and hang out with Family Groom?
We are at 990 Metropolitan Avenue in East Williamsburg. We're open now 7 days a week.
Wow.
Yeah.
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 We're driving forklifts through our tap room during the day, so we open at 5 p.m.
Okay.
Yeah, I was going to say, well, that's us too, right?
Like, yeah.
We brew, then we serve. We don't try to do the
I don't know.
Together.
I think that could be a fun interactive element of people, you know, just can avoid the forklift.
Ride
yeah,
of
exactly.
Sorts.
Yeah.
On YouTube tomorrow, put in the search forklift accidents.
Yeah.
Come back to me in 6 hours.
Oh, there's some good videos.
Yeah, there really are.
It's like what? It's like, you know, have you seen those videos where it's like a Rube Goldberg contraption where, like, you know, you put in a coin, it goes down the slot, the thing falls, and, you know, then it, like, lights a fire, and, you know, springs a mouse trap, all this kind of stuff. This exists, but with forklift accidents. So
okay.
You can watch the
where
entire.
Where you're literally like, how?
So I'm gonna fall down a rabbit hole tonight. I'll text you guys as I'm watching that. That'll be great. Thank you.
How did that thing fall when the forklift hit over here? Anyway,
yeah.
Back to it. So we got some thank yous to do. Stay with us. We've got to say thank you to the Patreons who do support us and John's international travel and real estate conquests. As we go. You ready?
Yeah.
So let's just say thank you to, I'm going to start, Andrew Swanson, thank you.
Joseph Corker, thank you.
Ann Fallon, thank you.
Joseph Poltrzycki, want to make sure I get that right. Thanks very much.
You got it wrong.
Yeah, probably.
Austin Gourley, thank you.
Josh Welch, thank you.
Barnabas Schickling,
thanks. And thanks to Justin Gaynor.
I got a Benjamin, thank you.
A Justin Guicamelli, thank you.
Bill Malloy, we appreciate it.
Carl Weiss from MASH, thanks very much.
Brian Altschul, thank you.
Kevin Doyle, thank you.
Watch.
C.T. Magaha.
Thank you. Saison Slayer 69.
This guy wrote us a letter and signed it Saison Slayer 69. And I was so like, that is the greatest name I've ever heard in my life. And now I'm trying to get it on every beer board in America.
What a badass. Thanks to Larzan.
Okay, Larzan. Where am I? C.T. Chad Robertson, thank you.
Mark, thank you.
Charlie Chess Sweater, thank you.
He's also written us some letters. That's a good one as well. Mark Forsman, thank you very much.
Cliff Claven, thank you.
Here's another guy who's written us some letters. Matthew Dapkins, thanks so much.
Cody McCarron, cheers.
Michael Busanic, we appreciate your help.
Dan Roebuck, again, we appreciate it.
Mike Valentine Sardinia.
Darren
thanks
McCloskey, thank you.
And Nate Johnson, we appreciate it.
Doug P.
Nick Caffarella, thanks so much.
Evan Levine, gracias.
Otto Eisenberg, thanks so much.
Wow, that's a good name.
Isn't it?
That's a really good name.
It's like a guy who, you know, like made like wartime decisions.
Well, it sounds like
he's
a drinker.
Yeah.
Gabe Albert, thank you.
Most of these guys sound like drinkers. Patrick Benedict sounds like a drinker.
Who did I say? Gabe Albert? Gene Lynch, thank you.
Oh, thanks, Gene. And to Robbie Windeborn, thanks so much.
Gregory Yachts.
Robin Holden, thank you.
Just a dude named Guire.
That's all it just says is Guire.
I swear to God. And I'm sure it's a shortening of an Irish name, but I want it to be a metal band.
Rory Gillette, thanks so much.
Jason Riley.
Every time I get this one and every time I forget it, but Sean Place or Place?
Place.
Place.
Yeah.
Yeah.
If you speak Italian.
All three of you, thank you so much for your... It's like voting in Jersey.
Jake Egger.
The Tasting Niche, thank you.
You did it, though. You're not supposed to.
I know, but, you know,
Jake
it's on here.
Jake Wysocki?
I have the Kolsch Bandit.
Right
thanks
on.
Very much.
It's like we need a Noid now. James Fagan, thank you.
Thomas Carrillo, thank you.
Jeff Mandra, appreciate it.
Hey, Tim Hitchings. Thanks, Tim.
We love
Tim's
Tim.
Tim's number one super fan.
Jeremy Ross, Dankeschön.
And to Timothy Warren, cheers.
Joe Graham, merci.
TJ Osborne, thanks so much.
John Stevenson, we appreciate it.
And I got Tom Court. Thanks. You got one more?
No, Cass is going to tell him how they got
it. I got one more after that, then. Oh. I got Victor Taffro.
He clearly thought I'd be too drunk to talk. Right, anyway, I want to thank the Grimms for joining us, guys. Congratulations. We're psyched you're there. Sorry it took us 3 years to get you back, but we love having you.
Yeah.
I can't believe you doxed every single one of your Patreons.
That's all right. Yeah. They're all fake names. Literally every one.
Except Saison Slayer 69.
Next time you do this, will you say all their addresses?
The worst part is Gregory Yachts is actually Gene Lynch, and Gene Lynch is actually Gregory Yachts. So it accomplished nothing using fake
I
names.
I think that the Kolsch Bandit and the Saison Slayer should definitely get together.
Yeah, if you were going to join this Patreon and you don't want yourself doxxed, you have to come up with a creative...
I've told everybody that, but Justin, who's a good-hearted millennial, completely believes that we should read both names.
Yeah,
I think everybody should have a cool-ass alias, and they should do drawings for our stickers, but that's me. I'm lazy, and I delegate. Anyway, Grimms, we appreciate you being here. Guys, get at us, let you know, think, and B-Cast, tell them how to get on that list.
With pleasure, but first, where can we find you guys socially? What's your social media?
Do you know, Lauren?
I know what it is.
It's,
Oh, yeah, have Cass read it for you. Cass is really good at this.
Well, it's supposed to be their plug.
At Grim Ales.
That's right. You can find them at Grim Ales everywhere.
Everywhere.
There we go. That's so easy.
Twitter. Yeah.
Oh, yeah. So, Twitter, Facebook, Instagram, and our
Instagram.
Website. Yeah. And, you know, untap their beers, too. Give them good reviews.
You are
good
just
reviews.
Milking this at this point.
Well, good. We still got some time to fill here.
Ryan,
according
you're doing
this.
A good job. Just keep at it. Here.
Yeah. It's not a hall pass.
My hall pass is right here. You can reach us at stealthisbeerpodcast@gmail.com. I'm all
right, Justin.
At Steal This Beer on all social media, Twitter, Instagram, Untapped. If you give us Patreon dollars, patroons as Augie calls them.
How many dollars, how expensive is this thank you list? Is this like the gold members or something?
There is gold members. $5.
At a certain point, do you have to like cut people from the list because it's getting too long?
No.
No. We will do entire episodes if people give us enough money.
Get on the show, and then there's just like, you know, the $2 tip where you're not on the list. This is $5 and above, and you have to have done it for 3 months to even get on the list.
You gotta earn your
We're not line types.
Okay, so yeah, Augie just filled you in on the Patreon program from a distance. So thank you guys for listening, and we'll catch you next time.
Cheers, guys. Thanks again.